The title of the sermon is The Word That Came to Jeremiah from the Lord. The Word That Came to Jeremiah from the Lord. And we start there in verse number 1 of chapter number 7 of Jeremiah. The Word That Came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Stand in the gate of the Lord's house, and proclaim there this word, and say, Hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if ye truly amend your ways and your doings, if ye truly execute judgment between a man and his neighbour, if ye oppress not the stranger, the fatherless and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. In verse 8, Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. You know, here we see in the history of Judah the destruction and coming judgment upon the people of Judah. We see how many years have passed and Israel was taken by Assyria, and then now we see it was Judah's turn. And here we see that Jeremiah started to preach there, to proclaim, to prophesy. In Jeremiah chapter 1, it speaks of the 13th year of Josiah's reign. The sad thing about Jeremiah's ministry is that he saw everything take place with his own eyes. You know what he saw? He knew that coming judgment was happening, it was coming upon the people. He kept warning them and warning them and warning them until they blocked their ears and closed their heart to the message of the Lord. And then with his own eyes, he saw Jerusalem being carried captive and Judah being destroyed. It was such a sad time in history, but it's a sad time when the people of God or the prophet of God sees it come to pass with his own eyes. Also, you see Jeremiah's heart for the people. He wept and he pleaded with the people to continue to amend their ways, but they chose not to. You know, time and time again, God told Jeremiah to speak. And specifically, I want to look at this evening in chapter number 7, the specifics as a way of introduction. First of all, I want to look at whose message it was. There we see it in verse number 1, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, it was the Lord's message. It wasn't Jeremiah's message, but it was God's message given to Jeremiah to proclaim to the people. Isn't the same thing today? We have a message to tell to the world that Jesus loves them and died for their sins, and except they repent, they will perish. And this is the message that we have to proclaim to the world. And before our eyes, we are seeing hard-heartedness even amongst those ones who profess to know Jesus Christ. These ones in Judah, they were supposed to be the people of God. They had Jerusalem, they were in Jerusalem, they had the temple of God in their midst. They would go there to worship God, but all of it was done in vain because they did not know the God of the temple. It was God's message that Jeremiah had to proclaim. And let me just encourage you, it is a message that we have to proclaim to a lost and dying world today. And it's not our message that we proclaim, brethren. It's his message, is it not? Stand confident in that. And Jeremiah, the prophet of old, although he didn't see much happen and much response, but still he proclaimed the message of God and he was faithful to it. Where? It must be preached. God gave his prophet specifics, and he looks here, there in verse number 2. He told him to stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word. He specifically told them where he was supposed to preach. And it was as the people came to worship the Lord, came through the gates, Jeremiah was supposed to stand there and he was supposed to proclaim the word of the Lord. You see, Jeremiah was just a servant of God, and God was telling him, Jeremiah, this is what I want you to preach. This is where I want you to preach it, and this is to whom I want you to preach it. Who was he supposed to preach it to? Well, he was supposed to preach it to those ones, the people of Judah. There we see in verse number 2, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Can I just note that these people, they were going through the motions of religion, were they not? They were going through the gates up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. And look at the message that he was supposed to proclaim to these people that were going through the motions of worship and their hearts were not right with God, but they still went to the house of the Lord. And you know, it's interesting today, we can draw the parallel and we know that Israel is not the church and the church is not Israel. But what we can see is that when we read about Israel, we see a wonderful example of how hard man's heart can be to the things of God. Did not Israel see all the miracles? They had the hand of God upon them and the blessings of God throughout all of this history. They could look back and say, blessing of God and miracle of God and hand of God, but they still forgot God. And today may it be a warning for us, brethren. How easy are we, how quick are we to forget God? And we see very clearly here that he was supposed to preach to the people of God as they were going through those gates to worship God. You know, the prophet must not fear the face of man. He cannot be faithful to his God if he does. Go with me, please, to Ezekiel chapter 3. I'm encouraged every time I read the prophets. Amen. I'm so encouraged that they just remain faithful. Can I just tell you that many of these prophets, they prophesied in people that did not want to hear, amongst the heathens, and people didn't care, and they blocked their ears, and they persecuted them, but they continued to preach what God had laid upon their heart. Ezekiel there, please, in chapter number 3. Look with me there in verse number 8. Behold, I have made, and this is God speaking to Ezekiel the prophet, behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he saith unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thy heart, and hear with thine ears. And go, get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. The warning ministry of the prophets. Whose message was it? It was the Lord's. Where was he supposed to preach it? There at the gate of the house of the Lord. To whom was he to preach it? To the people there of Judah going to worship the Lord. And let's look at what he was supposed to preach. What was he supposed to preach? Yes, he was supposed to preach the word of the Lord, but let us look at his warning. And we're going to look at the why. Why was he supposed to preach this warning to them? Go with me back there to Jeremiah, please, in chapter number 7. Jeremiah, chapter number 7, in verse number 3. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. He told them to amend. To amend means to make well, or to do that which is accepted. And so obviously, if he's telling them to amend, they've gone away, which is contrary to what God expected them to go. And this is really what we see in the Word of God. As believers, as we come and we gather together and as we read the Word of God day in, day out, God touches us and tells us, hey, I want you to amend this area in your life. And this is what it is, the ministry of the Word. And all of us should come to church expecting, or come to the Word of God expecting God to speak to our hearts and to challenge us so that we can amend our ways. You know, the thing is, and we just all, as God's people, We will look at God's word and we approach God's word and we say, Lord, what is there for me? There is so much in God's word that he wants us to do. But if we as God's people approach the word and say, Lord, one thing today, teach me and tell me one thing where I have just moved from you or shifted from you, show me. And as he shows you that one thing and you repent of it and you get right and you make it right with the Lord, you know what? You continue to grow in him and then one thing more, Lord, and another thing and another thing. And this is our sanctification. But the thing is, brethren, in Hebrews it says that let's go with me there, please. Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter number 5. Hebrews chapter 5. When he's speaking there to the Christians, they used to be Jews and they were saved. There in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, as he's speaking of the priesthood of Christ, this wonderful truth of Jesus Christ, he goes there in verse number 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. You know, he was saying, you know, I can go further. I can go further with you on this wonderful truth, but you know what? I'm just going to stop there. Why? Because you're dull of hearing. You know what this means, this word dull? It's slothful. You're lazy. You're not eager to hear anymore. And he's saying to them, you know, in verse 12, for when from the time you ought to be teachers, you're supposed to be mature, prepared to teach the word of God, you have need that of one teach you again, which be the first principle of the oracles of God. And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know what he's saying? He's like, I want to give you meat of God's word. I want to teach you these truths, but you know what? You've become so dull of hearing. How's your hearing this evening? When you come to church, has it become like the nation of Israel as they came to worship God through the house, to go to the temple, and the prophet is standing at the door saying, amend your ways, amend your ways, but you know what? You just don't want to hear. You've become lazy. And you know what? This is a problem within our churches, within Christians. You know, sometimes you preach and you preach and you preach and you see this like, look, and it's just so, nothing's going anywhere. And you just don't know what to do. You pray that God will break the people's hearts and, you know, just give them ears to hear the word of God so that they may return to the Lord. It's a heart issue. It's a hard issue, and that's why when we come to God, don't ever take for granted the opportunity of church. Come prepared, pray much, say, Lord, prepare my heart for what I have to hear. You know, these people there, the example of Israel, they were not prepared. They were going their own way, and that's why God had to send them a prophet saying, amend your ways, amend your ways. Here in verse 14, we see that they needed to be at a point of maturity to become discerning. You know, Christians today lack discernment. Why do we lack discernment? Because we're not mature enough. We still need the milk of God's word. We should have the meat of God's word where we're able to stomach it and we're able to grow in it. And then when we see something, we can discern both good and both evil. But the problem is we can't, because we are not mature in the Lord, we're not growing, and it comes down to the way that we receive God's word. That's what it comes down to. We're dull of hearing. And you know, it's such a simple truth, is it not? It's basic. But at the times, we just think, wow, we think we're okay. We think we're okay, but we're not. We as God's people always need to be open to the word of God and to the rebuke of God and to the instruction of God so that we may grow. And here, these ones, by reason of use, have their senses exercised. You know what this word exercise? Trained. That's what it means. You know, bodily exercise profiteth little. Same word. But God in this is profitable unto all. And so what we see is this, that we have to get to a point of maturity where we can discern what's good and what's evil. That's what we need to do as God's people. That's why we need the Word of God, and that's why we need to make sure we're not dull of hearing. Go with me back there to Jeremiah, please. And we can leave our finger in there or place in there, because we're going to refer to our text. Amend your ways. There in verse number 3, he wants them to amend their ways, your ways, and your doings. Amend your ways. A way there means a road, a course of life. It's a journey that you're going in. So what he's telling them is to amend the journey that you're going in. And along your amending, you need to amend your doings. And you know what's interesting is that the journey, the path that you're taking, really, you can determine the path that you're taking by what you're doing. And so if you amend your ways and your doings, it will ultimately result in your actions changing. The path, you say, okay, I'm going in the paths of God. Well, do you know what? That's going to impact what you do for the Lord. But if you feel that you're going to a path where it's just about your flesh or your carnal paths or the worldly path, then of course that's going to impact your doing. And God wants you to amend both. You know, what we have here is that people say, yes, I believe in God. Yes, I go to church. Yes, I go outreach. I do this. I do that for the Lord. And this is the journey that I'm going in. But what are you really doing? What is your life speaking? What are your actions? What do your actions? Your actions speak louder than your words. And you know, sometimes we can say the right things as believers, but really, where is our heart at? What path are we taking in life? And here he says, you know what? I want you to amend both. I don't want you just to say, start to do things, but I want your way to be amended. You know, there is a way which seemeth right unto the man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Jeremiah 18:15, because my people have forgotten me, they have burnt incense to vanity, and they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up. You know, amend your doings. You know, even a child is known by his doings, whether his works be pure and whether be right. You know, these people, as they were going to worship the Lord there in the temple, they were doing everything that looked right. They were going to worship the Lord. They were going to the temple and was probably keeping a feast or whatever it was. But at the end of the day, they were doing that which was right. But where were they going? What way were they going in? And you know what? Their hearts were led away by our idols, and they did not want anything to do with Jehovah God. And truly, brethren, we as God's people need to amend our ways and our doings. The prophet stood there to warn them and say, make some changes. And you know what? When God tells us to make some changes, he tells us what we need to change. Be encouraged by that. God doesn't, we don't serve a God that says, oh, well, Lord, Change, but what do I change in? And look what God specifically says to the people there. And we already read it, but he says there in verse number 6, specifically what they need to change: if you oppress not the stranger and the fatherless and the widows and shed not innocent blood. He says, you know what? Just be fair. Don't oppress the stranger because he's a stranger. Don't oppress the widow. She can't defend herself or the fatherless. Just be fair in your dealings with fellow man. That's what he was saying. Don't shed innocent blood. Don't kill. Don't murder. Neither walk after other gods to your hurt. Is it a hard thing that he's asking?
No.
Don't walk after other gods. It's going to cause you hurt. He goes on. Then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. You know what it is? The blessings that come with obedience. And what happens is, here we see, is clearly that God just wants them to change a few things, and that's all. He's telling them, this is what I want you to change, the blessing will come. What does God want you to change in your life? And you know, the thing is, the commandments of God are not grievous. We need to understand that. And God tells us very clearly that this is what I want you to change, and the blessings will come with that. But many of God's people have hardened their hearts and stopped their ears to the voice of God. And how is it that they will ever see the hand of God or blessing God upon their life? And this is what they wanted, the people of God. They wanted everything that comes with God, but they did not want to obey God. It gets worse and worse here. Why was Jeremiah needed to warn them? Well, look, first of all, why Jeremiah needs to warn them is because of their self-deception. They deceived themselves. There in verse number 4, he says this, in verse number 8, sorry, "Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit." So why was this warning? Why was God send his prophet to warn these people, to tell them to amend their ways? Is because of their self-deception. They deceived themselves. And they were trusting in lying words that cannot profit. In chapter 5, verse 31, look with me there, please. It got to a point in their lives. Jeremiah 5, verse 31. "The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And look at this. And my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof?" You know what they wanted? They wanted to believe a lie. These people were self-deceived. They would rather receive a lie than truth. You know, it reminds us of 2 Timothy 4:2 when Paul encourages Timothy to preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why? "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." That's what it is. Self-deceived. Happy to believe a lie. Why? Because it goes to the next point of these people. They were self-justifying. Self-justification. And how do we know this? Well, look with me there in verse number 4. Jeremiah 7, verse number 4. "Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these." Look how far it goes to these ones. They're trusting in the temple. And then look in verse number 9, please. "Will ye steal, murder, commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not?" Look at those sins. How far had the people of God gone away? "Steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods." No wonder God had to send his judgment. And we see here in verse 10, "And come and stand before me in this house." This is God saying to them, how can you do all these sins and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, "We are delivered to do all these abominations"? How intense is that? Maybe a warning for us, brethren, that today we as the people of God, as the church, need to keep the church pure. You know, it got to a point where in Israel's history, think about it, the pinnacle of their spirituality was when Solomon built that temple, was it not? He built that temple and it was a show to all the world that God's presence dwells in this temple, was it not? But wasn't it Solomon that introduced idolatry into the people? It spread. You know, at the time where it looked to everyone that it should be the point of God's presence upon them and the working of God, and it just was a big show that this is what God was doing, a wonderful thing. And from that point, you see, idolatry creeps in, the people of God were just slowly destroyed, and the presence of God left the temple. And may it be a warning for the church of God today. You know, we come to church, are we clean? Are we pure? And as we come before the Lord's supper tonight, are we actually prepared? Are our hearts right before God? Because that's what matters. Doesn't matter what everybody else thinks in this room about you. What matters is what God sees. It may be a challenge to all of us to make sure, because you know what happens? We can get excited and we can be influenced and God's Spirit can be moving, but some of us just jump on the bandwagon and we just go for the ride, but really our hearts aren't right with God. May we assess our hearts. And you know what? With Israel, we see this show of wonderful spirituality in Solomon's worship and the amount of sacrifices and the temple and everything. But you know what? They trusted in that. They trusted in that rather than trusting in the God of the temple. And that's why it can happen to us today. They did not know the God, their God. So we see there that they justified themselves. And how did they justify themselves? By the temple. We justify ourselves today. Well, I go to church, don't I? Well, I go to Grace Bible Baptist Church, don't I? You know, I go outreach. I share Christ with people. I have my quiet time. Yeah, but what did you get out of it? Brethren, may it be a challenge to all of our hearts. And we need to be reminded of these things. Why? Because we are dull of hearings at times. And here, the prophet was sent to the people. Why? Because of their self-deception, because of their self-justification. You know, in Zechariah 3:11, in that day shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doings, wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then will I take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride. And thou shalt no more be haughty, proud, because of my holy mountain. You know what it got to a point in Israel, to the people there of Israel, of Judah? They were haughty, they were proud because of God's holy mountain, because of Jerusalem, because of the temple. Do we not? Are we not Abraham's seed? Did they not say that to Jesus? It's because of my position, or because of who I am, or because of I'm born in that family? No. God's not no respecter of person. We as God's people, God expects us, all of us, to walk with Him. God expects all of us to be obedient to His will. And that's a beautiful thing about a church. You know, a church is made up of individuals. That every individual in the church is so important, but every individual in the church can actually walk with God to benefit the spiritual direction of that church. You know, that's a wonderful thing. But then there's the other side where that one person can impact the whole church and draw the church, become leaven that infiltrates and infects the church. Be mindful of that, brethren. That's why it's important that every single one of us walk with God. Every single one of us obey God's word. You know, in verse 11, he says, God's message to them is, this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes. Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. And you know, I love that. That's kind of scary. Because as Jeremiah is saying, it's no longer Jeremiah's words, it's the Lord's words. And do you know what it is? He's saying, God is seeing what you're doing. Nothing is hid. Nothing is hid from... And that's just a sobering thought for all of us. And that goes into our thought life. No thought is kept from Him. No action is kept from Him. And that's why we as God's people need to desire to know God and walk with God and do what God tells us to do, because He knows all things. You know, we say to our children, you know, God sees everything. And the other day, Samuel, this precious little boy, we knew he was lying. And I said, Samuel, are you lying? And he looked at me and said, no. And I said, you know, God sees everything. You know, having children for us has been really, has just given us a simple view of God, because we instruct them and we actually understand, you know what, God sees everything. It's a reminder for me. It's wonderful. You know, and you know, we say we're going to miss out on the blessings if you don't obey. Well, I'm going to miss out on the blessings if I don't obey. Yeah, it's a wonderful thing to be reminded of just the simple truths so that we can just continue this walk. You know, it's nothing, it doesn't have to be anything theological at times. Our walk with God, it just has to be simple, and it has to be obedient. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And what we see here is the third reason why is because of their self-damnation. That's the third reason. You know, they condemn themselves by their disobedience to God. In rejecting the warning time and time again, they chose to say, I want God's punishment, I want God's judgment. And you know, some people just don't say that, but their response is saying that you want the judgment of God upon you. Your rejection of the warning is saying, this is what I've chosen, God's judgment upon me. And this people, the people of Judah, they have just chosen, I want God's judgment upon me. And this is why the warning had to take place. Why? Because of their self-justification, because of their self-deception, their self-justification, and their self-damnation. They were without excuse. God sent prophet after prophet after prophet. And look with me there in verse 12. And you know what? Praise God for the examples. And here, God's making it very clear to them in verse number 12. But go ye now unto my place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. You know what he was saying? God was saying, consider the examples that's before you. And he said, go to my place, Shiloh. You know, you want to trust in the temple of the Lord, temple of the Lord. Well, did not the place Shiloh, God set his presence there, the tabernacle was set there, and did not God destroy Shiloh? And was it not the ark carried away captive and Eli's, the priests, destroyed his house? And he was saying to the people, do not look, just consider. Consider one moment, you know what, I had no respect of Shiloh where my place was set there. Why is it that you are going to trust in the temple? It means nothing to me anymore. My presence is not there anymore. What are you trusting in? You know, we can trust in being born in a Christian home. We can trust in our years of being a Christian. You know, the thing is, it doesn't matter if you've been 20 years, 40 years, 60 years as a Christian. Are you being obedient to God's word today? And yet sometimes we trust, oh, you know, I used to do that for God. I used to do this for God. But what are you doing for God today? And times Christians do, they trust in their past experience. Say, yeah, I'm all right with God because I've done this and this and this for God. I planted a church before and I did this before. And it doesn't matter. What are you doing for God today? What is God looking at and seeing? What does God want? He wants our hearts today. He wants obedience today. He wants to use us today. And what a blessing that is it not? Amen. And although you've been a Christian for 40, 50, 60 years, praise God that He wants to use you today. We serve a wonderful God. Amen. With so many blessings that, like really, they're innumerable how much He's blessed us, our God. And why is it that we would want to disobey Him, and why is it that we would want to go and do something else and trust in something else? Why? I'm not just talking about the preachers. Even if I wasn't a preacher, I would want to be a faithful Christian doing what God has called me to do. Praise be to God that He would use us for His glory. Self-damnation, these ones. You know, we see here in verse 13. Sorry, there in verse number 25. Look there, chapter number 7, verse number 25. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, this is what God is saying to them. Since the day they came out of Egypt until this day, the day there when Jeremiah was prophesying to them, he's preaching his message, he says this, I have even sent unto you all my servants. This is Jeremiah saying that. I've sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearken not unto me, nor incline their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. In verse 24, therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. You know, Jeremiah had this message where he had to go and he knew their response. Yeah. But why was God telling him to go? It's because judgment was coming. Yeah. How many times today we go out and we tell people about Christ, and you know what? They mock and they just make light of eternity, but judgment is coming. And we don't delight in that, but we have to warn people. We're not happy about it, and we don't sit there and say, well, you're going to get judged. No way. We're grieved at the fact. And you know what, Jeremiah, you just be encouraged by Jeremiah. He didn't see much happen, but you know what? He was known as the weeping prophet, was he not? He had a heart for the people, had a desire to see them turn around. He had a love for them, and he was pleading with them, and he loved his God, and he knew that judgment was coming. And are you prepared? Let me just encourage you here this evening. If you're here and you're without the Lord, judgment is coming. You know, these people had a time, an opportunity to repent and amend their ways and get right with God, as you do today. Amend your ways and get right with God in salvation. And if you're a believer, amend your ways and get right with God. You know, they had the prophets. And Jeremiah said, you know, since the day you came out of Egypt, I've sent my people to you to tell you, to warn you, and still you do not want to hear. Look with me there, please, to Jeremiah chapter number 8, verses 8 and 9. You know, they had their prophets, but look at this in verse number 8. How do you say, we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? This is speaking to the wise men. With us, lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. The wise men are ashamed, they are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? You know what here we see? Look at that phrase. How do ye say, we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? You know, the nation of Israel had the law of the Lord with them. They had the prophets of God, they had the law of God, but they still rejected it. And look how much more for us today as Christians, brethren. You know what we have? We have the complete Word of God within our hands. We have the Word of God here, and it's open to us, and it's taught to us, and we have the ability to hear it and to read it, and we as God's people have no excuse but to obey it. No excuse. And may it be a greater desire for us to actually seek the Lord greatly and say, you know, Lord, what is it in my life that you are not pleased with? And help me, Lord, give me the grace and the power to see victory over it. Why? Because he wants us to. Amend your ways and your doings. You know, the people here of God were deceived. It got to a point in Jeremiah's day that they were just worshipping idols, and they were just rejecting the word of the Lord. And look with me there in verse number 22. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt. There in chapter 7, in verse number 23. He said there in verse number 22, I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifice. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. He's saying, you know what? I spoke to the people as I brought them out of Egypt. I didn't speak to your fathers regarding burnt offerings and sacrifices. But what did he speak to them concerning? Look where he says, but this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. You know what he's saying to them? As they go into the temple to probably worship, he's saying to them, you know what? God never spoke to you. As your fathers left Egypt, he didn't speak to you, go and sacrifice and do all of this for me. But all I wanted you to do was to obey my voice and do it. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And sometimes we can have, like the people, like the nation of Judah, we can go to worship the Lord, look like we're doing sacrifice for the Lord, but you know what? In our hearts, we're disobeying God. And this is the warning. And may we as God's people take it upon ourselves and say, Lord, what is it that you want me to amend in my life? What is it that you want me to change? What is it that you want me to get right with you? Why? So that I may be obedient, that I may see your blessings upon me, that you may use me for your glory. And this is what it is. So what do we see? In way of conclusion, we see the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. He was told it was the word of the Lord. He was told specifically what to preach and for what purpose? To warn the people. Why? Because these ones were self-deceived. They were self-justifying and they were self-damned. Think about that. That's how it always happens. That's the cycle that goes down. You know what? They're deceived. And then they justify themselves, saying, I'm okay, which brings damnation unto themselves. And this is exactly what the nation of Israel were faced with. But God sent his prophet. Why? To warn them. And be encouraged, brethren. We are, you could say, have this ministry of warning people. Because people really are deceived. And they're justifying themselves and they're damned to eternity in hell. And we just need to speak it out as it is for the glory of God. Let's pray.